keynote speaker is Sean Verner from San Diego.
Hey, guys. My name's Sean. I'm an alcoholic. This is pretty cool. I've never been here before. The ASL is a cool deal. There's usually not the hand signals associated with my name, so that's kind of a cool deal. But I don't know. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, this is not for me. This program is not for me. It's not for a guy like me. Alcoholism is not for a guy like me. I had a buddy ask me at about a year of sobriety. He said that we were talking about somebody, and I forget who it was at this point, but he said, "Why do you think that person comes to Alcoholics Anonymous?" And I said, "Probably loneliness." And he said, "Do you think he's an alcoholic?" And I said, "I don't. You know, I don't think he's an alcoholic. I think there's people here who are non-alcoholics." And he said, "Do you think you're an alcoholic?" And I said, "Yes, yes, I think I'm an alcoholic, and I'm pretty sure that nobody else in this room is." And that's the reality. When I came in, I'd heard all kinds of different things. I heard people say that they had tried to quit drinking. I'd heard at the very beginning, you guys read it off, we had tried different ways and means to stop and control our drinking, and that was never my story. That had never occurred to me. I'm still in kind of doubt for people that it has occurred for, but it's just kind of one of those things that I just don't... It never occurred to me, and my life was messed up for a bunch of years. I'm pretty nervous, so please excuse me with the shakes and the sweats. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous the first time, I was 17 years old, and I had got here because my life was going downhill quick, and my parents caught me. And I stayed sober for 2.5 years. I went to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. I went to Narcotics Anonymous meetings. I'm not here to endorse, deny, oppose anything about either fellowship. This is where I am. This is my home, Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm an alcoholic. But the first time when I came by, I thought that I had a problem with drugs. And I do have a problem with drugs. That's not the point of the story. When I came here this time, they told me just to focus on my alcoholism, and that was going to cure my problems in my life as they could see it right there. My problems were chronic homelessness. My problems were not being able to control my drinking and the fact that I was throwing up everyday blood. My problems were I kept going to the doctors and I couldn't explain why I was shaking all the time. I mean, obviously I'm shaking now, but this was a constant thing. And I didn't inform any of the doctors that I had been drinking booze. So they really had no idea. They had diagnosed me with Crohn's disease, GERD, hiatal hernia. I was at the doctor as often as I could. And the only times I didn't go to the doctor is when I was sick at home with booze. And I had no idea what the problem was. And I came in this time around. I heard a guy say, this is probably 2 months ago. He said, "I don't want to brag." I don't know if this guy's even in the room. He said, "I don't want to brag, but I did the last 25 years in prison." And I thought, man, you have got it. You're the exact same way I was when I came into this program. You have no idea what to be proud of. And that's exactly what happened when I came in this time. You know what I mean? I was really excited about the story I lived, the life I lived. It was exciting. It was exciting, and it was killing me, and I had no idea on a daily basis how to get out of my head. I had no idea how to get out of the constant anger and aggression I felt. When I came into this program, I was in a rehab facility, and I got served with 7 restraining orders while I was in there from people from before. I got a divorce from my wife while I was in there. You know, there was people that I thought were new people to the house. They were process servers, come to find it. And, you know, I'd be doing whatever, and I'd say, "Hey, my name's Sean, nice to meet you, welcome to the house," and they'd say, "Here's your servant," and I'd just, I'll tell one more story from my past, and then I'll get on to my recovery, because that's what's important to me today. But this is kind of like the confusion as to why I got here in the first place. I was in rehab for 5th or 6th time. This is when I'm still living in Pittsburgh. I came out here about 12 years ago, still in Pittsburgh. I was, 19 years old. And there was this girl there that I fell in love with, rehab romance, and she had that pharmacy symbol tattooed on her leg. And I thought, man, that's the one for me. And and she was in love with another guy in the rehab, of course. And there's another girl that had Hep C, but I was going to be careful. And it seemed so obvious to you guys, but it was not obvious to me at the time. And I'm deciding that all four of us are going to go down. I'm trying to get out of Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh is the problem. I need to get out of there. It's the depression. It's the rain. It's the fact that nobody has jobs. That's what it is. Needless to say, two of those people were on probation, and the probation officer found out they're planning on absconding from the state. And I was the only one that actually ended up leaving to go to Southern California. But before I went to hitchhike my way out here, I figured I'm going to stop by my parents' house one last time, just acquire a few things that are mine, maybe a few things that are theirs, and I'm going to hit the road. And at this time, I was trying to change my mind by changing my mind. I don't know if anybody else has tried that before. It is not a great solution. But I had discovered existentialism, which I hadn't read any books on. I just heard about it and sounded like a good idea, that everything exists because we think it exists. And that was the root of my problems, that I was thinking my way into these poor situations over and over again. And so I'm hitchhiking home from the rehab, on the way to the parents' house, going to the place, and I come into the door drunk. You know, I, of course, found somebody with tall boys on the way home while I'm hitchhiking. I come in through the door from rehab drunk. It's probably about midnight, and all I could say was, the walls exist because we believe they exist. And my favorite line from the big book is, thus began another trip to the asylum for Jim. And that's exactly what happened to me. That was the first 72-hour hold I went through, and of course it was my parents' fault. But when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous this time, like I said, people told me to focus on my alcoholism. My alcoholism was a problem. It wasn't the fact that I was thinking wrong. I mean, that was certainly part of it, but my alcoholism was the problem. And what I did was I took the steps out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous with a sponsor directly out of the book. And I can't tell you that I live a life that's really, really great. I can't say that at all. But I can say that for the last 4 or 5 years of my existence, I used to get drunk and beat my wife, and now she's my ex-wife. But I used to have a bunch of pistols and various other shit around the house. And I used to say, all you have to do, you don't have to feel any guilt, you just cock one back. Every day I'm going to test one against my forehead. That's all you have to do. And I haven't felt like that in a long time. I haven't felt like I have no way out of my situation in a long time. I have a way to deal with the problems that I have. That anger and aggression, I write about it, I share it with the sponsor, and I go and make amends to the person. And one of the best lines I heard was in the big book, he said, my sponsor's kind of a clever guy, and he's good at roping people in. And he would say things like, this is only for people with really advanced sobriety, the thing I'm about to tell you, so don't tell anybody else. But he said, you know, sometimes this took me 30 years to figure out. So I'm like already ahead of the game. I'm like, you know, spiritually, you know, I'm there. And he's lent me this secret. And he told me, it was a line out of the book. I don't want to misquote it, but I'm going to anyway. It said, with a person that we hate, we go to them in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our prior ill feelings and expressing our regret. And that's what I did. When I went into the house, there was somebody that just got done sleeping with my wife. And I walked up to him and I said, I have some prior ill feelings, and I want to express my regret. And I know that sounds like humorous, because it is humorous, but the reality of the situation is I can look that guy in the eyes, and I was able to stay through a program that helped to save my life, that helped me to work the steps safely, because as soon as I got there, I had a sponsor that was wise enough to say, you need to take care of resentment immediately, because it's going to kill you. And you know, like I said, most of my sobriety has just been doing the same repetitive things over and over again. I'll say this, and then I don't know how long I'm at. No idea. He's looking around. A minute. Okay. So, again, the same things that I've been doing are the same things I've been doing from the beginning, and I'll say this and shut up. Trust God, clean house, and help others. Every day I have to take actions. They can't be things I say. Every day I have to get down on my knees, either morning or at night. I do nothing perfectly. Nothing perfectly. This program requires very little of me to give a good life. But I get down and I pray to God. Just like at night, I thank God. And I heard from the very beginning, God's a sucker for compliments. And that's what I learned. I thank God every night for the things in my life. I go to a meditation meeting every Sunday. And even if I don't meditate through the week, that's a commitment that I have and have had since I got in the house. These are the things that help every day to be a livable thing. And I deal with sick people on a daily basis, not in my work. I do deal with sick people in my work, but I have sponsees that are really sick and need a lot of help. And I haven't felt like drinking in a long time. I haven't felt like killing myself in a long time. And thank you, Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah.